Welcome to the Outsource Accelerator podcast. This is a short format podcast where we explore business and outsourcing mastery. My name is Derek Gallimore, and I am really excited to bring you the leading podcast in outsourcing. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator podcast. My name is Derek Gallimore, and this is episode number 214. So today we have Daniel Choi, the VP of Client Services from Intelligentsia with us. Intelligentsia spans the US, Philippines, and India, is an outsourcing supplier, but also does higher-end data management, data mining, and technical services. So really interesting conversation with Daniel, and we talk about how he got started in outsourcing and his personal journey. So I enjoyed this conversation. If you want any of the show notes, then go to outsourceaccelerator.com/214. Enjoy. Hi, and welcome back, everybody. Today we have Daniel Choi of Intelligentsia. He is the VP of Client Services, and we're here to find out more about Intelligentsia and Daniel Choi's story specifically into outsourcing. Hi, Daniel. How are you?
Hi, Derek. Nice to talk to you again.
Yeah, absolutely. And like as always, you're probably a little bit better at introducing yourself than I am, since you, you know yourself a little bit better. But can you first just introduce yourself and let the audience know how you became involved in outsourcing, of all things?
Sure. So again, my name is Daniel Choi. I am a VP of Client Services at Intelligentsia. Intelligentsia is a BPO with tech solutions. So we're an all-around outsourcing company that handles a lot of our client operations. As for me, I actually got into a BPO space with my business partner and my friend, Carlo. We started our own e-commerce store in the US. We were selling auto parts. And our auto parts are a very complicated industry with lots of cars, and all of those cars have lots of parts that are going into it. So there was no way that two of us could handle the amount of workload with data entry, managing eBay and Amazon platform, our own website. And so it naturally made sense as a startup to look for something more economical. And through my business partners' connections in the Philippines, we actually started a second company called Second Office in 2011. And that kind of spiraled us into the outsourcing industry. And as much as we enjoyed our own efficiencies and productivities with using outsourcing, we used that second company, Second Office, to offer our services to other people as well. And so we mainly focused on e-commerce clients who are interested in making some economical business decisions in scaling their business. And so ever since 2011, we've been growing in US, UK, and Australia. And we have about 60 clients worldwide. And actually, because we were growing at such a fast pace, we came to a realization that, you know, our service offerings were very limited to, back office support with customer service, and there were no technology piece at all. And at that point of time, when we were looking for some partnership, Intelligentsia came along and they acquired us last year. And so last year, we were able to go from a simple back business process outsourcing company to a business outsourcing company with technology offerings that are doing data analysis, big data, cloud management, programming. And so we're actually in the works with working with our existing clients to, customize and automate some of the business processes that they're doing.
Fantastic. So you're really going up the value chain, and it's such a common story, isn't it, that a lot of people start outsourcing because they're scratching their own itch. They have their own business requirements, and then they set up facilities and start offering those facilities to other clients then. So, you know, take me back a little way, and when you started in 2011, what was your impression of outsourcing back then? You guys, both of you, Carlo and yourself, you were based in the US, and you were largely in the whole Amazon online retailing thing. Was it specifically just for the US, or was it a worldwide market?
For us, it was just the US market. I mean, auto parts by itself is, in the US itself, is so big and so complicated that, you know, just two of us, we were focusing on the US at the point.
Okay. And then, so someone told you to go to the Philippines, like you were completely US-based business. And did you think that was a freaky notion? Like what were your impressions as you started that outsourcing journey?
Yeah, it was completely new to me, at least. And outsourcing was something that was, I read in the magazines, and something that I was thinking about. And I think we absolutely would have had no chance succeeding in outsourcing, but by myself. But because Carlo was actually, he's Filipino by ethnicity. And because of his connections in Philippines, we were able to have stable operation set up. And so without Carlo's connections into the Philippines, it would have been, I don't think we would have done outsourcing at all. It was the legal structure, the way the business is set up and run is different than here in the US and than in the Philippines. And the labor laws are different. And, you know, looking back 6 years, yeah, just does holidays by itself is a whole nother another area. Their labor system is different. So looking back, I think because I had a good business partner, we were venturing into a very good industry that is outsourcing.
Yeah, but were you back then aware of, because I imagine, you know, and coming from the Amazon sellers and stuff like this, like, in terms of an industry, you're actually quite advanced in terms of remote working, in terms of using VAs. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of Amazon sellers come from the school of Tim Ferriss. I assume you read the book and were inspired by the VAs. Did you, before you tried outsourcing, in inverted commas, did you try the whole Upwork, Odesk, freelancer, VA kind of scene, or did you sort of leapfrog and go into more formalized outsourcing environment?
We knew about Upwork and Odesk at the time, and actually we did think about using them, but actually because Carlo had some connections in the Philippines, we just skipped all of that and went right into it. And we were pretty sure we could, you know, bring business to the Philippines because of such a big gap just a difference in, I guess, GDP, that, you know, different economical situation. It just makes it easy for, and offshoring was, at that time, was the hot topic. And I did read 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss. So I think those were all inspirations that were behind getting into outsourcing, But yeah, we just jumped right into it head on.
Fantastic. And were you aware of other outsourcing suppliers, BPOs? Was that a sort of thing then, sitting in the US as you explored this, that you were aware of as that they were out there as a service?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
Were you aware that, you know, there were other BPOs in the Philippines, you know, that it was a sort of professionalized service, or did you just think that it was really virtual assistants and home-based workers?
You know, that's a really good question. We actually didn't look into other BPOs. And, you know, going into it, I think we didn't really understand what market we were getting into and the potential that it has. We learned a lot once we got into the game. I think the difference was so big that, you know, it just made sense for us to jump in.
Sure.
At that time.
Fantastic. And then what can you say about some of the learning curves of running remote teams? Did you, Were you starting to spend more time in the Philippines to build the team, or were you largely building the operations remotely?
Yeah, so for us, we did spend quite a bit of time. There was a bit of a learning curve involved. And I think especially that's because Carlo and I, we were at such a young age when we started Second Office. We were only like 26 or something. And so, you know, I think we knew how to work, but in a sense, we didn't know how to work with others in a sense of managing them. On top of that, there were some cultural differences to get adjusted. So actually, when we started the company, I was in the Philippines for like a month to set up. And Carlo was in the Philippines in and out. And then eventually he moved out to the Philippines to concentrate on the business. So yeah, we actually spent extensive amount of time.
Right, right. And because it's interesting, isn't it? You know, and you were probably going through this process of it. It's not only outsourcing that you were learning, but it's the essence of managing people and creating processes, mapping processes, and kind of then implementing them. Yeah, it's quite a learning curve, that whole process, isn't it?
Yeah, right. It's, you know, and I think the difficulty with BPO is you need to cater to each client and customize. And even if, you know, even if our clients would sell the same product, the way they do things are different. Mm. So every time it's an iteration of learning how they're doing it, and, you know, transferring that into the Philippines and making sure this is adapted successfully. It's not easy, but it's actually, there's a lot of joy in making it successful.
Yeah, absolutely. So then when you do have the clients, when you brought extra clients on board, did you generally find that they were clients that previously didn't have staff and then they were expanding, you know, their staff and capabilities, or they already had staff and they were kind of replacing and augmenting with outsourcing?
It depends, really. So, I mean, we have clients who were, you know, who started their own business like us, and then they were scaling. So they would hire someone from the first time and they would outsource right away. We also had clients who have a sizable operation already. They have some history of doing business, and because they found out about outsourcing, they passed on the outsourcing model and partner with us to make that work. And it's really hit or miss for the clients. But the key thing that made everyone successful was that, you know, they think of the team in the Philippines as the extension of their company, as a new department that they're setting up, rather than someone that's just doing mundane tasks or tedious tasks that they don't want to do. So no matter what background or what business size revenue that they come from, it only made sense, or it was successful for them if they wanted to, if when they invested into the team, invested not only their time but their energy, also you know setting up incentives and giving the employees motivation. Those kind of things really made them successful.
For sure. And I was actually in New York a couple of weeks ago. We were talking, doing a lot of talks to people about outsourcing. And we were a part of the biggest Amazon meetup group, actually, in New York City. And I spoke there to about 150 people. You know, it's difficult to well, I suppose a couple of questions that I commonly got asked was, what can you outsource? So, you know, what are some of the roles that you would typically outsource for these online Amazon kind of roles?
Easiest place to outsource is really the easy stuff. And those are very broad terms. Yeah. But the things that you do day to day, I think for, as a practical example, like when I was on eBay, we would use flat files to upload and download from eBay. And so I would download a flat file, make modifications, put it back on, upload it back in eBay. And I would do that, you know, sometimes once a day or multiple times a day. And those kind of things were easy to outsource. And that's kind of the place that where we started. But other things, because now we're a professional organization, what we can offer to our clients is customer service. So not only data entry, there's customer service. And because of our merger with Intelligentsia, we also do programming. And by programming, I mean we can customize your e-commerce where we download using API. So instead of, you know, having someone download it manually, making changes, we can have the machine download and automate that process so it's more fluid and it's more accurate. So in essence, you can outsource anything, especially with the internet connection being faster and faster every year. I feel confident that, you know, eventually we'll be in a place where remote working is the norm.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I project that there's about another 30 million jobs to be outsourced because of that. You know, with the software that we have, with the interfaces, it's just going to become so normal now, isn't it? Okay, thank you so much. And I want to get you back so we can deep dive into Intelligentsia and what it does exactly and you know, its ideal offerings. But in the meantime, if anyone wants to reach out to you or learn more, how can they do that?
They can email me, they can call me, or they can visit our website. There's a contact form that they can fill out, and eventually I will contact them. But the best way is to use those three means.
Okay. Do you want to, like, and what are they? What's your email address?
My email address is daniel@intelligentsia.com.
And the website is
Intelligentsia. The website is intelligentsia.com.
Fantastic. Okay. Thanks so much, Daniel.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Okay, that was Daniel Choi of Intelligentsia. If you want to get in touch with Daniel, go to our show notes and all of that information is there. That is at outsourceaccelerator.com/214. And as always, if you want to ask us anything, then drop us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.